WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. Efforts to swiftly end the government shutdown collapsed as Democrats in Congress went home without resolving a funding standoff with President Trump. This is the White House threatens public sector jobs. Johnny Jones is president of the union representing thousands of TSA union members.
I hope they would keep in mind, you know, our elected officials, you know, on both sides of the aisle, that we have people that are in these federal jobs helping to make America run.
Hurricanes way offshore mean high surf advisories for the East Coast. Correspondent Jim Crisula.
High surf advisories are posted for the East Coast from South Florida to the North Carolina-Virginia border. At least six unoccupied houses have collapsed into the ocean the past 2 days at the southern end of North Carolina's Outer Banks.
Jane Goodall has died. The conservationist helped shape the world's knowledge of chimpanzees.
This planet, it doesn't have infinite natural resources. So what's going to happen if we carry on with business as usual?
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Waukesha County judge is getting in the race for the state Supreme Court. Judge Maria Lazar launched her campaign today, promising to, quote, stop the destruction of our courts. Lazar is the first conservative to enter the race after Justice Rebecca Bradley decided not to seek another term. She criticized opponents, saying she's an impartial judge who follows the law, in contrast to political figures with little courtroom experience. Fourth District Court of Appeals Judge Chris Taylor is also running. The race is set for April. Big changes are here for people that use Wisconsin's WIC program. The state's health department says the changes will offer recipients expanded food choices, more options for special diets, and additional support for healthy eating habits. Among the changes are an extra $3 for fruits and vegetables, more options for infant food, and more whole grain options for women who are pregnant, breastfeeding, or postpartum. Officials say the goal is to make healthier eating easier for women, infants, and children. A new shroom is being seen in the state. Melissa Kay has more.
The DNR is tracking a new invasive species in Wisconsin woods, invasive oyster mushrooms. Research from UW-Madison shows the mushrooms have been spreading quickly throughout the state after being accidentally introduced to the Midwest in the past several years. The spores of the yellow fungus can quickly spread on the wind, and they crowd out native fungal colonies that usually grow on decomposing matter. These distinctive large yellow clusters grow at the base of dead trees, and the DNR says they're edible, but as with any mushroom, make sure you identify it before you eat it.
Brookfield has been named the second best small city in America. The ranking comes from WalletHub's Best Small Cities in America list. The study says the rankings are based on a balance of good schools, affordable housing, and safety. According to the study, Brookfield offers a high quality of life. Appleton also made the list, coming in at ninth place. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers warming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers worked out at AmFam Field as they wait to find out who they'll play Saturday. The Cubs beat the Padres 3-1 in game one of their best of three game wild card series. Brewers catcher William Contreras had another MRI on his left hand that's bothered him all season. Manager Pat Murphy.
You're not going to be able to keep William out no matter what the analysis is of that injury. He's going to play.
NFL, Matt LaFleur on what went wrong in the final minute in overtime that led to the Packers settling for a tie with the Cowboys.
When we're not in two-minute mode and then you jump into two-minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed. It's a bad look, quite honestly. And it's just the communication and process have got to be cleaned up because we can't allow that ever to happen again.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. Horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and mild tonight, a low within a few degrees of 60. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. We push into the 80s for the rest of the week and weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. It's 71 right now.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
That's me in a nutshell, folks. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. And it was gorgeous again today. What is there not to be happy about? A beautiful day, some great showbiz talk, some current events. The final farmer's market here in downtown Green Bay. Well, I shouldn't say downtown Green Bay. I should say on Broadway. But apparently there's one that's going to happen. Do you know there was a farmer's market on Washington Street? I didn't even know that. It must be farther down.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And you live here.
I do.
You're in the hood. Great show tonight. Great to have you. Hope you had a great day. Whatever happened to you today, folks, put it behind you, good or bad, and let's have some fun. Let's talk about the things we love. Great movies, comedy, music. We got a lot of fun tonight on the show. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival with my first guest, Greg Bach, at 6:35. Greg is a Civic Media colleague. He's the co-host of Matinair on Air that you can hear every day here on the network. They do a great job. Outstanding radio every day. Thanks to Greg and Jane. He will be here. Greg is also a comedian and one of the founders. I don't know. Actually, I almost said he's one of the founders. I don't know that he's one of the founders of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, but he is one of the producers of it. So we'll get all the information that you'll need if you're in the Milwaukee area for a really cool comedy contest. This has been happening for a couple decades now, and it looks like they've got some fantastic guests coming up. Patton Oswalt will be there this year. Did I ever tell you? Are you a Patton Oswalt fan?
You know, I recently watched a show, a Netflix show that he was on, and it was actually quite funny.
Yeah.
But other than that, I haven't really seen his comedy style.
His stand-up is different. He's funny. I mean, he and I, when Jimmy Pardo got married, I was in his wedding party, and instead of doing like a bachelor party, they did a roast at this place in L.A., and Patton Oswalt and I were two of the roasters. I don't know why this is so funny, but he kept calling Jimmy Pardo Johnny Pardo, and that just floored me every time. He's a funny guy and a pretty good actor. He was on King of Queens. I know he was in Justified, but he's going to be at the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We'll talk to Greg about that at 6:35. Always fun to have Greg on the show. Then my pal Catherine Lake, who I said this Friday, we tried to get Catherine on Friday. I think she had a last-minute scheduling conflict or phone issues or something, but Catherine is largely responsible, or played a hand in, I should say, getting Nightlight on the air. So I'm always grateful for that. And I just like her so much anyway. She's a great person and she will be here. Catherine manages WMDX in Madison for Civic Media and kind of oversees the John and Gordy show. And they are pals of mine as well. Catherine will be here at 7:05 to give us details. What little we know so far of the Godfather of Green Bay screening in Madison, December 4th. That is going to be for a great cause, folks. I don't think we've zeroed in on exactly what the cause is yet, but it's not Conrad's walking around money. It will be for a good cause. So we'll do that at 7:05. Catherine will be here. We'll discuss that and give you more details throughout the next few weeks as they come in. That's going to be fun. And it's going to be at the Atwood Music Hall, the brand new Atwood Music Hall. Very excited to see that. I've never even been inside that. So I'm excited to be part of that and show the film there. I have not screened that film in many years. And then at 7:35, so we start in Milwaukee. We go to Madison. Then we come up here to Northeast Wisconsin. And our pal Dan Davies will be here. He's going to have a special guest with him, too, which will be fun. And they're going to be talking about independent film awards in Northeast Wisconsin. Michael Seibel is the director who's going to be with them. They're giving Michael Seibel a Lifetime Achievement Award at the NIFA Awards. It's the National Independent Film Association Awards. It takes place in Appleton October 4th. That's this weekend. So Michael and Dan will be here at 7:35. Dan's always fun, and it'll be great to meet Michael. So there you go. Four kick-ass guests on tonight's Wednesday edition of Nightlight. Conrad Krieger is working the board furiously right now, folks. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I like that intro there.
That you're furiously working the board.
I feel like I do that every night, right?
It's the only way to do it, really.
Exactly.
I mean, you bring it. You bring the A game. Cubs have a split now. They're 1-1, yeah. So
that's going to be a great game tomorrow.
So what did you? Was it three games or five? I can't.
Three games.
It's three. So did they do yesterday Wrigley, today San Diego?
No, it's since. The Cubs had a better record. They get all home field advantage for the wild card.
Oh, my God. That's huge.
Yeah, that's why it's back-to-back-to-back. It's three games in a row.
I was wondering about that today. I'm like, that doesn't make sense that they would fly all the way to San Diego to play a home game. So that's a huge disadvantage.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still 1-1. So who knows if this freeway series will happen or not. We'll see.
Yep. And it just, if you haven't watched MLB playoffs yet, do yourself a favor and watch because it's electric right now.
It's pretty exciting. I have not watched one inning of it so far, and it's my team that's playing. I know, I just couldn't,
And it said, like, two.
It's perfect. I mean, it could not be on at a better time. I just have so much to do, I can't keep up. So.
You're just not serious enough about them.
Not serious about it. I will say there is a bit of a letdown after 2016 and that huge long wait of 110 years. It's kind of like,
yeah, all right.
I mean, I'm still excited about it, but it's not going to top that. I feel like that was the apex.
Well, now you just got to wait for the Bears to win another one.
Well, the way they're going, although they look better now, but I hope I didn't have to wait 112 years for that. My grandpa lived his whole life and never saw the Cubs win a championship, so. Although the Brewers,
they haven't won either.
So, so that would be pretty.
That would be the
pretty sweet
be
for
my,
our state.
The greatest feeling I've had for a sports team.
Where, if you had to pick a Wisconsin team,
the Brewers,
over the Packers, even.
Well, I guess for me because I've seen the Packers win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I mean, I was only like 11, but still, it was really cool.
But is that why? Like,
if neither of them had won a
championship, who's your favorite Wisconsin team?
Oh, well, that I would say the Packers.
The Packers, okay. The Packers have won two.
Just because I'm a huge football fan. I like football more than baseball. So.
You know how I can tell you're a huge football fan?
Why is that?
Because you say football.
Football. Football.
Most of my favorite hosts when I'm listening to my sports podcast. National Football League. It's not just the T isn't even in there. So I could tell you're a big fan. I'm trying to find the text we got last night. We had kind of a fun question last night. It was, when you think of a mediocre sitcom, what show comes to mind? And my friend Alan Martin, I didn't see this till late last night, but Friends. Very controversial. I thought Friends was funny. I mean, it was weird because it took me a couple of years to warm up to that show because they were so cuddly and fuzzy and it just drove me. I didn't like it. I tuned out the comedy because it was so annoying. But then the writing just shone through and it was a very funny show. I became a huge fan.
It's like probably like my fourth favorite, I'd say, shows.
How I Met Your.
Yep.
Then what?
The Office.
The Office. Okay. Then.
Ooh. I would say WandaVision, but...
No kidding.
That's... Yeah, that's... Okay. It was a top viewing experience for me.
Wow.
If you don't know, WandaVision is in Marvel, and it's like it goes through every single decade of TV, every episode. It's so cool.
All right. I'll give it a look. So where are you? And you just watched The Office. You were watching The Office right after we got on the air here.
Well, remember how addicted I got to that instantly. It's just that dry comedy just gets me. It was so funny.
You haven't taken to Seinfeld quite the way you did to The Office.
No, I'm enjoying Seinfeld, but it is hard to binge it like I did The Office or How I Met Your Mother.
Where are you now in Seinfeld?
Season 3.
Okay, that's a good season. Season 4, maybe the greatest season of television ever.
Because
the whole season happens, and then they call the whole season back. And it's the whole season is about the making of the show Seinfeld. They do a pitch to NBC, Jerry and George, kind of like modeling it after their real experience with Jerry and Larry David. It's just, I've never seen a TV season like that. So stick with it. I'm glad you're digging it.
Yeah, I think my favorite episode so far is the one where the apartment one.
What's that one?
Where George and I can't think of the girl's name again. What?
Elaine,
thank you. Where she wants a new apartment. George is moving out.
Oh yeah,
and then it goes to another person after it at the end, and they get invited to the housewarming party because they got the apartment for them.
Oh wow, I thought you were gonna say the one where Elaine was gonna move into Jerry's building.
That's what I think it was. Yeah. No, not that one. Oh yeah, okay. Jerry was gonna get a new apartment. Yes, that's how it was.
Yeah, and then there was like a rock band playing at the end of it.
Yeah, that's how it is. Okay.
Season 3 is great, too. I almost like, have you seen the one yet where George is dating the woman and he leaves a horrible message on her answering machine and they try to steal it back? Yeah. I don't think I've ever laughed as hard. That and when Elaine is yelling Stella and takes the muscle relax is just brilliant. So anyway, I think it's time we got to get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Are you ready for this, Con?
I am.
What celebrity has the worst hair? What celebrity has the worst hair? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy to do, and you're going to need the app anyway to play our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. I'm going to give you details about that soon. We only have a few more nights left of the Text to Win contest, but you'll need the app. The app is a great way to get a hold of us here. Text line is fine. And if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment there and let us know who you think has the worst hair. What celebrity has the worst hair? It's funny because my initial reaction, and I didn't put this on social media, was Boris Johnson. He was the prime minister of the UK, and he has really bad hair, but intentionally bad. He's trying to brand himself. It's very obvious. And it's just, he just looks like a meatball. So that was my initial thought. I did not go. I went with Bon Jovi because I think Bon Jovi, he's one of those guys. Like if you're a metrosexual, just own it. You know, if you're really into your appearance and how you look and everything's got to be perfect. Like I've always, the people that have kind of driven me the most crazy are the ones who go to painstaking efforts to make themselves look like they don't care about their appearance. They've got rips in their jeans, but the rips were put there by Calvin Klein. It's not from bad hygiene or rolling around with a dog.
Bear attack.
Yeah, that would be cooler. And I knew this guy once he would spend 2 hours on his hair to get it to look messy. And I feel like that's what Bon Jovi does. And it looks very 80s. I just have totally soured on their music over the last few years. I just don't need it. They got some good tunes. I know there's a lot of Bon Jovi fans out there. I say Bon Jovi. Conrad said Russell Brand.
Yeah, you know, his hair just looks like it smells.
He just seems like a dirty guy.
It looks like he just was like, all right, I'm just going to grow out my hair. And that's his hairstyle for the past 40 years.
What is he doing? Cut that. All right. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. That's our question of the night. Let us know. Be part of the fun, folks. And when we come back after this very short break, I'm going to tell you about my experience with a wasp. It's Beach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. That when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. A gorgeous Wednesday here in the state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And just digging this evening. It is a beautiful night. So today, I'm sitting on my porch. I usually start my day with a cup of Joe. Sitting there listening to the various tools being used in the neighborhood, leaf blowers, chainsaws. It's always something different where I live. Slightly rural, but it's in the city. And every morning, there's like one wasp that hasn't died yet or something. And it finds me. And I always go back to someone saying, well, don't swat it. You'll just make it mad and it'll bite you.
Bite.
So I try to do, or sting, whatever. So I try I try to ignore it. It does not go away. This thing is like persistent. And today it landed just next to my neck. So I flipped out. Like I completely turned into a spaz because it's not supposed to land on you. And I don't know whoever started that whole, oh, don't swat a wasp. Just let it be. Well, okay, it's going to sting my jugular. But I'm going to listen to this person from the 1970s. And I just, when I swat it, they go away. But today I was like, all right, I'm going to try just to absorb this and see what happens. It was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a bee fan over here.
Me either. And I've been stung enough to know I don't react. You know, I feel a pinch. Like one time I had a chain on because I was that guy.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And I was on the subway, and I thought that one of my chest hairs got caught in the chain, and I started moving it around. Next thing you know, I'm holding the wasp and it bit my finger too. And it stings, but it's not horrible. I'd rather be stung, but like your neck, you don't want to get a wasp sting in your neck.
You know, one time I stepped on one and it stung right under my big toe. That didn't feel great.
That cut into your 40 time.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
That was horrible though. So hey, you're watching this show.
Yeah.
I cannot leave the Dexterverse. I'm watching Dexter Resurrection. I need a Lisa Hale fix so we can discuss this, but I haven't moved on from, I watched last week tonight, a little bit of Bill Maher a few nights ago, but other than that, it's just Dexter. I'm consumed.
You know, I am watching Chad Powers.
Yeah.
And it's a new show based.
Glenn Powell.
Yep. It's based on a little skit that Eli Manning did where he went to a college, you know, dressed, he put on, you know, makeup and all that stuff to disguise himself, and he tried out for the team and was Eli Manning. So obviously he's playing good. The guys were like, "Who was?" You know?
Oh, I remember that.
So
that's
based
what
on
that show is based on.
Yeah, well, kind of. That's, you know, they made it into a show, and Glenn Powell plays this guy named Russ Holiday who played for Oregon, and he was, you know, in the national championship, was gonna win, but he celebrated too early at the one. Threw the ball.
Oh, that is gorgeous.
And then they're facing Georgia, took it back and ran it for a touchdown to win the national championship.
Oh my God. Live with that the rest of your life.
I mean, that's what he's looking. He's like, what just happened? Because he was celebrating in the end zone, looks over, and it's a touchdown for Georgia. And let's just say the comedy is pretty funny. The story's a little weird. But after that, he's watching the Georgia player run it. And this guy goes, "Hey, Russ, I still love you. Could you sign my kid's? Can you sign my kid's ball
college
after
player?
That?" Yeah. And the guy goes, and Glenn's character goes, "No." Guy keeps bugging him, so he turns around and knocks him. And it's all on TV. You know,
is that a true story?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just in the, you know, in the,
because
in Chad Powers. So that's, and then 8 years later, he's trying to be a football player again. He thinks he's going to the XFL. Contract gets canceled. Hears that a local college is doing tryouts because their quarterback went down. So he puts, his dad works prosthetics for Hollywood. So he puts on makeup and goes to tryout. No one knows it's Russ Holiday.
And the same thing happens. He gets the ball. It just looked like it was trying so hard to be funny, but I'll give it a shot, but it's not getting great reviews. It's okay.
The story is not, it's weird. You know, it's like,
it's based on an Eli Manning skit. I mean,
but the comedy is there. There's some parts where I actually laughed. Okay. I wasn't expecting to laugh.
56% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 57% audience. So
yeah, I could see definitely.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, just give it a watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got Hulu, you're going to have to suffer through all those ads.
I don't ever watch anything on Hulu. It's crazy.
Every single, like, 8 minutes, there's 2 minutes of ads.
Who did you send me a picture? Is that Gene Katie, the former Purdue coach?
Well, there's a text that came in that said that.
All right, let's go to that text. I got to find out who. This is bad hair. Wow. That's a bad hair piece. Where are her texts? I can't find. I'm totally discombobulated. On the stream, Dave says, Carrot Top.
Yep. Definitely.
Dave doesn't like the gingers, apparently. And Kathy Griffin. Ah, yeah. Keeping in the Kathy Griffin. That's interesting. She just kind of has, well, they both have really red hair. But Kathy Griffin just has kind of bushy. I never thought about her hair. Carrot Top is blatantly, I don't know what's going on there. Edward from the 414 says, Gene Katie, old Purdue basketball coach. Yeah, awful comb over. Conrad shared it. Put that in there. There you go. He one time blew snot during a game. It was so disgusting. He was yelling at a player, and something came out of his nose and landed on his chin. And it looked like, I mean, talk about a prosthetic. It was like swinging around while he was yelling. It was so disgusting. It almost made me not a college basketball fan. It was so gross. And that's Gene Katie. That's the first thing. His hair is the second thing I think about. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Fred Flintstone, schwabba-dabba-doo. That's right, baby. Thank you, Tyler. Sydney Politics, Dave's stream friend, says, I don't know who that is. We're going to Google that, and I'll read it when we come back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back with Greg Bach, and we're talking Milwaukee Comedy Festival. That's next on Nightlight, folks. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The message was for Milwaukee County, but with a run for governor as the backdrop, David Crawley may have tailored the address for a wider audience. Last night, Crawley delivered his proposed budget for next year.
We are the largest, the most diverse county in Wisconsin. We are the economic engine of the Badger State, and we are Wisconsin's epicenter for culture, entertainment, industry, innovation, tourism, and so much more. So let's act like it. Let's lead by example. The rest of the state is watching how we're going to respond to these challenges. Because you know what? They're feeling the pinch too. And so I'm asking you to once again pass a fiscally responsible budget. Let's take on this task together.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley is proposing a $1.4 billion budget for next year that includes cuts to transit and health services. It's to address a $47 million deficit. To close the gap, the county plans to reduce bus service hours, raise fares, and cut programs like same-day paratransit. Health and human services, including substance abuse and eviction support programs, also face reductions. Crawley is asking for a $12 million increase in the property tax levy to help balance the budget. The Democratic candidate Crawley now faces a more crowded field in the race for governor. Former Economic Development Director Missy Hughes announced her bid this week. Also running, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, beer vendor Ryan Sternad, and Madison area reps Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce. Among Republicans, Representative Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Showman have declared their candidacies. Back to the budget, people will be able to opine for the first time on the proposal next Monday, with several listening sessions listed on the county's website. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Have you heard of Tilly Norwood? If not, you probably will be hearing more about this AI actress in the near future. AI is becoming more of an issue in the entertainment business. It was a big point of contention during the recent Screen Actors Guild strike. Tilly is the creation of Aileen Vandervelden, a Dutch actor, director, and physicist. That's a rare combo. She is the founder of Particle 6, a video production company that makes AI. Vandervelden says Tilly is even being looked at by acting agencies for representation and has her own Instagram account, the AI with the IA. As you can imagine, the Hollywood acting community is not happy about this creation. According to Yahoo News, the Screen Actors Guild says Tilly is not a real actor, as she has no real-life experiences to draw from, and that AI devalues human artistry. My question is Tilly really even a she? Not sure if she can be compared to a real actor or if she is more like animation. This will get more interesting and or contentious real soon, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and mild tonight, a low within a few degrees of 60. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. We push into the 80s for the rest of the week and weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. It's 71 right now.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matinee on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matinee on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue from On Location in Shawnee, Wisconsin. We'll continue to follow the government shutdown. And when entertainment and politics cross over, who do you hold accountable? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. Great to have you here on this Wednesday night. The last farmer's market in downtown on Broadway. I got to keep catching myself, yep. Conrad. I've never been to the farmer's market here.
I haven't either.
It's like $9 for an ear of corn. And you have to cook it yourself and there's no butter. How is that fun? It's not, folks. So we're going to bring the fun to make up for that lack of fun. And, oh, God. That was brutal. That might be the worst. Let's just move on. All right. This is exciting, though. Things are about to pick up because my pal Greg Bach is about to join us. He is a fellow host here at Civic Media. He is one of the co-hosts of Matinee on Air. He does every day with Jane Matinee. They do a great job talking current events. They'll make you laugh. They do it all. Greg is also a very funny comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And he joins us now here on Nightlight over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, my friends, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Did you get a haircut, Greg?
I did. I got a haircut, and I got rid of the beard, and yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that's Greg Bach, Conrad. Can you verify?
I think
You'll
that is Greg.
No, you'll never know.
The voice sounds real. Right. I trust you. Hey, buddy. It's great to have you here. You look outstanding.
Thanks. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me this evening. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, and I think there needs to be more comedy. Anytime there's a festival or a fun show coming up, we have to talk about it. But before we get there, and maybe this is apropos because you just got a haircut, not saying you have bad hair, certainly, but what celebrity, Greg, our question tonight is, has the worst hair?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Gosh. What celebrity has the worst hair?
I say you could think about it for a while and we can come back to it. I said Bon Jovi. Russell,
really?
You know, yeah, it looks like he spent 2 hours trying to make it look perfectly messy. It's annoying.
Oh, see, that doesn't sound like you don't. I think you're jealous of that hair, Pete Schwab. I don't think it's about the quality of his work. I think it's more about the impact, and you're jealous of his coif. And it is coiffed for 40 plus years, and it's always
that's part of it.
Stayed as relevant as his music has stayed relevant.
Well, we could argue that too. I don't think his music. I have jumped off the Bon Jovi train years ago. I just find it.
Oh boy! Welcome everyone to Pete Schwabe being brave.
Oh, but listen, I thought you actually
speaking
were
truth to power.
I thought you were talking. I thought you were going to fight me on that for a minute there.
No.
Okay.
No. I understand the impact of Bon Jovi, and I understand that people love Bon Jovi, and you know they have a place in this world, and God bless them for doing what they wrote. Amazing songs that make you tap your toe
in the
and
80s,
take you back
yeah.
to middle school dances, and yeah. So I'm pro Bon Jovi, but I just don't listen to them anymore.
When you say Bon Jovi and I say Bon Jovi, are we talking about the same band? I just want to clarify that before. Okay.
I like feeling a little sassy. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
You give love by the name.
He's a very handsome man. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
For
so
your
I'm going to keep that in the back of my noggin here, my brain box here, and try to think of a celebrity with the worst hair.
The other one, Greg, I had was Boris Johnson. That was a runner-up because that guy's just a clown. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with that hair.
Yeah, that is, it's ridiculous. The fact that anyone has ever taken him seriously is beyond me.
Correct. All right, Greg, so let's jump in. You've got this great comedy club. Now, did I read this correctly? Yeah. You're moving, right? Are you in the new space yet?
Not yet. We have not announced this the new space yet. We're in the throes of movement and finding and negotiating and all the things, but we cannot announce anything yet because we do not have those details to put out to the world. As soon as we do, we will let everyone know. And the old space, we closed that in mid-June of this year, this past summer. And we've been looking for a new spot in Milwaukee because that is where we are a Milwaukee club, we're a Milwaukee company, because we're Milwaukee comedy. And so, with more days that come, we will give more information.
Awesome. Is that old comedy cafe space on Brady Street still available? Is anything in there?
It's gone.
What do you mean gone? They knocked it down?
They knocked it down. There's an arcade there, arcade bar there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just gone. Well, actually, I don't know if you knew this, but they were on Water Street just before, if you know Milwaukee, they were on Water Street just before it became Brady. And then they moved to Old World Third.
I remember that.
Where it was a nice small room. It was really fun. I really liked that room. The only thing I didn't like is the back walls had mirrors along it. So while you were doing stand up, you were watching yourself do stand up, which was a little disconcerting. But then that one closed, I think, in 2018. And then Joker's closed, I think, the following year. And that was it. We were bereft of comedy clubs in Milwaukee, the city. That is nuts. Yeah.
Wow.
For like a solid 2 years.
So what made you, not then the Laughing Tap appeared and then problem solved. So what made you want to do that? Like for a comic to do that, that's a pretty big plunge, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was the fact that we were already putting on shows around the area and we were, for a while, we were purposely putting on shows during the week so we didn't compete with the clubs. We didn't, we understand everyone's got to make their money and we didn't want to try to hone in on anyone's territory. But as we kept doing more shows and the consistency of the clubs, like, and I shouldn't say consistency, but sometimes they'd be open, sometimes they'd be closed. So we'd start doing shows on weekends. Plus, some comics just can't do a Tuesday night. They want to do a Friday or a Saturday.
Right.
So finally just became part of the story of we will build a comedy club or we will open a comedy club in the next few years. And then it all got hit. The gas got hit hard because someone offered us a space. And in January of 2020, we opened the doors. In March of 2020, we closed the doors for 4 months.
Oh, man.
So,
well, I applaud you. I think that's so great. And I thought, if I was ever going to own a business, what more fun could you have than owning a comedy? I'm sure it's got its headaches. I'm sure comics are difficult to deal with sometimes. But how much do you make a year, Greg, doing that?
I make exactly 32,000 laughs a year. And that's not counting taxes, which I pay. I pay my taxes, looking at you, most of Congress. And I will say this. One thing that we've talked about before amongst us who, me and Caitlin and Matt, we are the three who run the club, is we've been very lucky to never work with any comics who have been massive headaches.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their personalities. You know this as well as anybody. Just because a comic's quiet doesn't mean they're mean or they're rude. They just might be quiet. A lot of comics are introverts. A lot of comics, when they get off stage, they're not about going to the bar and whooping it up. They want to go in the back room. They want to think about their show. They want to decompress. That being said, I can't think of a single comic who's walked through the room who we've ever said, cannot do this. They are too much personality, too much ego, too much, ugh, don't like that at all. Never again. We've been very lucky in that sense.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, you kind of can pursue the ones you want too. The people's reputation sometimes precedes them, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's outstanding. I look forward to the new space, even though I never made it into the old space. I will definitely.
No, Pete, I would love you to, didn't.
Well, listen, I asked for, I said I could do a tight five, and you said no crowd work within that five, and I said I'll take a hike. I have my.
You have your, I've got my standards.
That's in my rider,
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about the Comedy Festival, Greg. It's, I believe it's this weekend, correct?
It starts unofficially starts on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee, which is put on by Milwaukee Record. That's happening at the Cooperage, hosted by our friend Kristen Bry. And it's going to be Milwaukee comedians roasting Milwaukee like they have been. I think this is the eighth or ninth year. Very, very fun. Always a good time. always making fun of the fun things about Milwaukee and suburban Wisconsin and things like that. And then Tuesday kicks off the official event with Aparna Nancherla, who is, she's been in movies and TV shows. She has written a wonderful book. She will be opening the show at Lakefront Brewery on that Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 7th. And that show is creeping towards sold out. So if you want to go to that show, you want to get tickets sooner than later, you can do that by going to mkecomedyfest.com. And then the next night we have, we're going to be back at the Cooperage with Sean Patton, who you've seen on all the late night shows. And his show, he's a co-star of the show English Teacher, which just premiered their second season last week on FX. He plays the gym teacher. He will be headlining the Cooperage that night on Wednesday, the 8th.
Beautiful.
And then on the 9th, actually, I'm going to go to the 10th real quick. Friday, Shank Hall. Punky Johnson of Saturday Night Live, formerly of Saturday Night Live, will be headlining Shank Hall.
Love her.
On the 10th. I'm so excited to meet her and to watch her work. It's going to be a great time. That Shank Hall is one of the best rooms, one of the best non-comedy club rooms in the city or I've ever been to. It's just perfect for comedy. Intimate, quiet, low ceilings, dark, great staff. Always love working with Shank Hall. And then going back to Thursday, the 9th, we are working with our probably the biggest get. He is the reason why I do stand-up. We have Patton Oswalt. He will be headlining the Pabst Theater.
Oh, nice.
All those tickets, you can find links to those tickets at mkecomedyfest.com. And the thing is that all those shows will have comics on there from the fest, people who have been admitted in. They submitted. We've admitted them in. They are going to be part of it. And then throughout the weekend, Friday late nights, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. And we talk more about that in a moment. But they're going to have a lot of great comics from all over the country doing shows, doing sets. But those are our big four headliners: Aparna Nancherla, Sean Patton, Punky Johnson, and of course Patton Oswalt.
That is an outstanding lineup. My guest is Greg Bach, folks. He is the co-host of Matt and Aaron Air that you can hear every day here on Civic Media on the network. And he's also a comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, and that's what we're talking about right now. I was telling you a story, Greg. I don't know Patton Oswalt. By the time I had moved to LA, all he had to do was go on stage, and I remember this vividly, and he went on stage and he said, "Matt Damon," and people erupted at the anticipation of what he was going to say. I'm like, this guy's a juggernaut, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was telling Conrad, my pal, Jimmy Pardo got married, and Patton and I were both on the roasting team. I don't know him, but he kept calling Jimmy Johnny Pardo, and it was the funniest thing. Like, by the eighth time he said Johnny Pardo, I was in stitches. He's a very funny guy.
He is. He's very funny.
And a good
he's
actor.
One of those comics. Very good actor, great writer. Knowledge of movies is wonderful. He's written a couple of great books I've read, and he is, like I said, the reason why I do stand up. He is my
number one
guy, and I'm going to do my best to be both a professional producer, which I always am, but also try not to fanboy out too much if I have the opportunity to meet him. And what I like about him so much is that he also grows. He is a man who is, I think, knocking on 60, and there's a lot of comics out there at his age could do whatever they want or do nothing, but he continues to grow in not only his comedy, but in his opinions of the world, and it's great to listen to him talk about that on stage and be funny at the same time.
That is a great point, because I remember, you remember the HBO Young Comedian specials?
Absolutely.
Sometimes they would have someone on there, and I'm like, well, that's a great point. I'm not really laughing. It's very rare that you can have a Bill Hicks or a Patton Oswalt. He's become that guy who can say really insightful stuff and be hilarious. Yeah. Greg, let's pick it up right there. We're going to do a really short break, and we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes with our pal Greg Bach about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Looking cool, you're out of sight.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports. especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As President Donald Trump seeks retribution against the prosecutors and law enforcement who investigated him, some of his 2020 allies are on the hook in civil court. Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic prevailed last week over Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell for their defamatory statements against the voting technology companies. Dominion sued Giuliani, former mayor of New York and Trump campaign lawyer, for $1.3 billion, claiming that he made false statements about Dominion's electronic ballot tabulators being rigged to tilt the election to Joe Biden. Dominion has previously won a $787 million settlement from Fox News and $67 million from Newsmax for similar claims. September 26, Dominion announced a settlement with Giuliani, though the amount is still unknown. In the past 2 years, Giuliani has been disbarred, filed for bankruptcy, and was indicted for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Also on September 26th, a federal judge found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell defamed voting systems company Smartmatic. The yet-to-be-decided damages may hinge on whether Lindell knew his claims the machines were manipulated were false. Lindell still faces a suit from Dominion. President Trump announced last month Giuliani would be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great texts. Folks, keep those coming. Our question of the night is, what celebrity has the worst hair? I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We will get to your text soon, and I will give you some more info on our Go for the Green and Gold text to win multi-state contest here at Civic Media. It's really fun. We've been having a blast with it. It goes through Friday. More details coming up in Act 2, and I will give you the keyword shortly after that as well. So stick around. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal, Greg Bach, who is one of the co-hosts of Matt and Air on Air every day here on the Civic Media Network from 9 to 11. And how are things going there? Are you and Jane still getting along, Greg?
Absolutely. We have a great time. It's really fun. I'm very, very lucky to be doing that show. I'm really lucky, honestly, when it comes to this network. And I'm not saying that because I know our overlords are listening.
But they're not listening. Really, come on.
Radio is something I always wanted to do. I never thought there was going to be an opportunity, and then I received one opportunity, and then I made, like, more happened, and now I am where I am with the Matt and Aaron Aaron with Jane, who is a legend. I mean, all the time we hear people saying things like, you know, you're with Jane. I've been listening to her since I was a kid.
She's so great.
And then I don't tell her that, because then she's like, oh, people are calling me old. I'm like, take a compliment already, would you? But, yeah, I mean, it's great. We have a really great time. I think the show is great because we talk about important things, things that affect Wisconsinites, things that affect Americans, but then we also do know how to keep some lighter tones in there. We know how to poke fun at what needs to be poked fun at, revere and respect that needs respect, but we always want to make sure that for ourselves, as the people doing the job, it can be a lot looking at the news every single day and trying to decide what we want to talk about, but then trying to involve a bit of levity, if you will.
Absolutely. Greg is also a very accomplished stand-up comedian and comedy club owner. The Milwaukee Comedy Festival starts Monday, October 6th. They have a great lineup. Patton Oswalt, Punky Johnson, Sean Patton, and Aparna Nancherla. Am I saying that right, Greg?
Yes, you did. Good job.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Look at that. I'm getting better at this. So are you going to perform? Are you emceeing or doing anything? Can people see your act?
No, I don't perform during the fest. We you know, that's something that I hold very strongly for me. It's like I'm not against anyone. I'm not against producers performing in their own festivals if they'd like to.
Sure.
I, for myself, don't, because we have so few slots to begin with.
Right.
Every one that I may take is one less that a comic gets, and especially if they're traveling from around the country. It's just for me. And also to have to think about my set and then also go on and then put on the show and have, it's not apt for concentration and good performance. So I'd much rather just watch and then enjoy from that point of view.
Well said. Let me ask you this. Is there pressure? I mean, this festival has been around for many years, but you know, Milwaukee kind of has a reputation of the city of festivals. Is there pressure to put on like a great festival every year? Do you feel like you do that every year? Or do you ever feel like, oh, we could have, you know, the city's watching, right?
Well, I think that for us personally, like the pressure that we have is not coming from outside forces. It's from within the pressure we put upon ourselves to create the best festival possible with the best headliners and the best people from around the country, from around the world coming through, slotting the shows. I mean, I don't know your experience with producing shows, but putting together a show, in my opinion, is as much an art form as stand-up comedy can be as well, because you have to look at the show, you have to look at the time slot, you have to look at the people, you have to say, okay, these people complement each other, these people have the same style, so we don't want to put them either next to each other or even on the same show. It's about crafting a show and crafting a festival, and the pressure really comes from within. I mean, people have a good time. They have a great time.
Yeah.
And we get great notes and great words, and we have a lot of great reviews from people, both, you know, performers, producers, managers, agents, all the, you know, the only pressure I really ever feel is, can we do as well as we did the year before? Mm. And I can't think of a single festival we ever did where I said, well, let's never do that again. In fact, you know, we actually did a festival in 2020. We did the 14th and a half annual because it was much smaller, less people, less applicants, and we kept it very, very safe. But even that one was great because it knew what it was in the time we were living, and we were just trying to get out and have as much of good time as we could with masks and no vaccine. So
yeah,
the pressure always just comes from within. And then as soon as we're done, we're like, oh, and then for like 15 seconds, we're like, let's never do this again.
Wow. I can't even imagine. That does sound like a lot of pressure. Greg Bach is here. We're talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. It starts Monday, coming up at 7:05. Catherine Lake will be here. The station manager of WMDX will be discussing a movie screening of one of my films in Madison. I'm excited about that. And then at 7:35, nice. Dan Davies and director Michael Seibel. Yeah, you going to come, Greg? They're showing a film I made.
I'll be to your movies more times than you've been to the Laughing Tap, Peep Schwabba.
I will come to the Laughing Tap as a show of good faith. I want to.
There you go.
I want to be there anyway. I'm sure you guys are going to have a great space. Before we let you go, Greg, we've got about a minute. Who makes you laugh? You're a savvy guy, probably a little jaded when it comes to comedy. Who's out there right now that really makes you laugh?
I mean, honestly, the people who make me laugh aren't even comedians sometimes, you know, or people that comedians make me laugh off stage privately. We're having a good time. But I would say someone who still makes me laugh to this day, who's performing. Oh, God. Another one of those. I would say Kyle Kinane. I would say Kyle Kinane always makes me laugh. There's something about him that just sounds so conversational, but it's so brilliant the way he talks. And and then someone like my friend Maddie Field, who always makes me laugh when we're hanging out, and he's a great comedian, but he's even funnier off stage.
I like all these guys. You've had Kyle at the festival before. Love Todd Barry. Brian Posehn, lovely guy. Mary Mack, she's been on the show. She's hilarious.
Guys, you have a lot of my friends are on your show.
Oh, well, hey, keep sending them. We love the comedians.
Absolutely.
Greg, best of luck. Crush it with the festival. Keep us posted. And I really, truly cannot wait to see your new space. So keep me posted on that as well.
Will do, Pete. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Okay, buddy. That's Greg Bach. Listen to Matt and Air on Air every day here on the network from 9 to 11. Such a great show. Greg is outstanding on the show, as is Jane. So we will wrap this up for intermission and be back for Act 2 with Catherine Lake. And a key word awaits all of you folks. Do not go anywhere. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jumping on a fast train. Gotta go.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Military members, federal employees, and those who receive federal services and benefits are about to get hit hard. The partial government shutdown is in day one, and as our Erica Brown reports, Democrats and Republicans are blaming each other.
Some government offices went dark, with thousands of federal workers told to stay home. The Trump administration is also threatening mass firings as some government offices are shuttered. Republicans want to extend funding at current levels, but Democrats are holding out for concessions on health care, including extensions of Affordable Care Act subsidies and reversals of cuts to Medicaid.
The last government shutdown lasted a record 35 days. Terrence Johns, a Department of Agriculture employee in New Orleans, says he remembers it well.
You would think that debt holders would understand, hey, you're on furlough and all of that.